And then from the verse 2, the actual aspirations begin, the prayers begin. And it reads, May I never be born again in states where I descend to the lower realms. May I attain the perfect human form with spiritual freedom and opportunity. So here, the first aspiration that is being made is that as we discussed earlier, that the physical existence, the form of existence that is most suited to the practice of Dharma and one's spiritual growth is the human existence. Therefore, and the aspiration is made so that in future lives one is never reborn in the lower realms of existence where such opportunities and capacities are lacking. So the sentiment is expressed that may I attain the perfect human form which is endowed with freedom and opportunity. And then
the next verse, the verse 3, it reads that right from birth, may I never be attached to the pleasures of mundane joys, and inspired by thoughts of renunciation, may I strive without respite for the pure life. And although, you know, right from birth is perhaps open to question to be able to cultivate such thoughts and detachment. However, you know, from early on, the prayer is made, the sentiment is expressed that from early on, may I be able to free myself from attachment to the pleasures of mundane joys so that I'm not tied to the mundane existence. And by inspired by the thought of true renunciation, may I strive to engage in the conduct of the pure life. So pure life here refers to the life of a monastic order, life of an ordained life. And this is in keeping with the example of the Master Buddha himself. In the example of Buddha's own life, we see that initially he grew up as a prince in a kingdom, showered with all the luxuries of a princely existence, and then later he gave up all of these and cultivated detachment and sought a life of an ordained practitioner. And as the Tibetan expression goes, the teacher's examples of the past must be followed by the disciples of the future. But however, this is not to suggest that in order to attain true liberation or nirvana, it is indispensable for everyone to become a celibate monks or nuns or join the ordained life. However, there is an understanding that the ordained life and that kind of condition is the best, is the most suitable circumstances, most suitable kind of framework within which one can make spiritual progress and work towards the attainment of liberation from samsara, work towards the attainment of nirvana. And so there is an understanding that ordained life is the sort of the highest form of life within which one can work towards the attainment of that liberation. So the prayer is therefore made here, an aspiration expressed that may I never be attached to the pleasures of the mundane joys, and inspired by the thoughts of renunciation, seek that the conduct of a pure life. And then the next verse follows on and reads, this is verse 4, may there be no obstacles to renunciation from family, friends or possessions, and may I achieve without hardship conditions favorable to an ordained life. So here what is being stated is that not only may I be able to develop from within a deeply felt kind of, admiration to the ordained life and seek that, but also may I not encounter with obstacles that hinder my fulfillment of that aspiration. In fact, the aspiration is made that may my family's friends and possessions and other external conditions be favorable towards the fulfillment of that aspiration.
No, yeah. That the Ninju Sambe Tungju Tola Sadi, Jirini, Sodagavana Sudim, any Kasoda, Ya, Chigada, Chi Togu, Tanaria, Taji, Timikimba Rujoi, Yong Sivi Marie. Dagan Shingi, Chigida, Udara, never assume you want to chat, says Sundusane, Ninjung Sudim Sinni. That day, Ninjung Sudim Sadi, never Juma, Tata, Tarba, Tabchi, that Tabu Donegi, most that sort of. The nigger better, but that Tabatoji, the Junior Donegi, and all Sudim Sundusane, Ninjung Samisima. Teleani, Ninjung Sudim Sinni. That's in Jigar of the day. The Nele, Yaya, Taria, Tandaria, and
There is a significance to this reference to the lines which says that in May. May I strive to seek the pure life, inspired by the thoughts of renunciation, true renunciation. And this is to underline the importance that for
engage in the true life of a true renunciate of an ordained member, it is important to have that as the basis of your monastic life, because it is possible, both and historically, both in India and also in Tibet, there were members of the monastic order, people who take the life of an ordained member, not out of motivation of attaining true renunciation and attaining liberation from samsara, but rather either to as a rescue from some kind of fear of retribution or punishment or whatever. Sometimes that can happen, that people seek refuge in their monastic life and to protect themselves against certain threat or fear. And also it is possible that in some cases people may seek the join the monastic life as a kind of a way of life, as a kind of a means of earning a living or simply as another kind of lifestyle. These two kinds of ordained life are not really the life of a renunciate. Therefore, in Guna Prabha's text on the monastic ethics, he, right at the beginning, opening passages of his text, he states that herein I shall present the ethics of a renunciate, monastic ethics of the renunciate, and he underlines the importance of renunciation as the basis for joining the ordained life.
No, yeah. That is name. All right. Any ta sanje ge che nyang de sia de du ya le ya any la wo sun sia ji tong de gu ya le che de gu la ba ding de ji la ba chen ge la ba s ta chen gu la ba le ya any qin de dong ba da de ru dong ba ni song yin ba le so da ge du ne sa da ge ning dong ba sia qin de dong ba che ta le ya da ge ni chen ni wo xie wei ni da chong ju ge ni da yong zo ge ni And I say, can you do so? Or other message of another job? Any patches of a sir? Any difference in the beginning side of the summary of it? And then, Kasa, Yanji Domabe, Chalambe, Sumo to add the day, the day, yeah, J. Kasa, so that's a game of Chenabe Masange, Yanji Ningo Medeva, she's in Delia, choose you to she, any. 年年有多么些就送一把的，是。但是呢，入住呢呀，哎呢，给住，但入住就因东北的呀，跟他的，给，好了，他，就算了，给住些，哎，给房子，对吧？等一会儿，请住上呢，给房子嘛，你给住房子，你给房子嘛，是，应该的。当然是给你嘞，给你爸妈，都是多。
Earlier we spoke about the core practice of the morality, the core practice being constituted by the three higher trainings. Higher trainings in morality, higher trainings in concentration, and higher trainings in wisdom. So the higher trainings in morality is what is relevant to the discussion here. And when we speak about trainings in morality within the context of Buddhism, we generally speak about two categories. One is the morality that is related to the lay practitioners, such as upasakas and upasikas. These are the lay practitioners' vows. And then you have the vows of the monastic members. And within the lay practitioner's vows, someone can take the precepts of all five precepts, which includes celibacy, and also or one could take five precepts that includes the avoidance of sexual misconduct, and then, or one can take what is known as the taking two or three precepts, or only one precept, but also it is possible to take the layperson's vows on the basis of taking refuge in the three jewels. And also, for the lay practitioners, it is also possible, due to either lack of the right conditions, or sometimes individual practitioners may, you know, their sense of courage and commitment may be so weak that they are only able to commit themselves to a moral, sort of a life of an ethical discipline only on a short-term basis. For such practitioners, there is the possibility of taking these vows and precepts on a daily basis, known as the nyene, or day-long vows. And then for the monastic members, you have the novitiate vows, both for male and female practitioners, just as in the case of lay practitioner, they are both male and female practitioners' vows. Similarly, in the case of the monastic vows, the novitiate vows can be practiced by both male and female practitioners, and also the full ordination, again, they are both male full ordination and women ordinations.
Oh, yeah. Then, as of earlier, any Sodagi, Tambati, Mangje, Kinning Tambe, Tane, Shigare. That's a reason that Tambatan, I don't know, Jano, Chibutu Yare. Va, Che, Taugada, Kogajanglu, the Chevini, Tavarang, Rodan, Samaji, Rodaji Yare, Rajun, in a Rajun, Rodan, Samaji Yare. That going out of early at the Yumila, Tasad Valley, you know, the city, Che Kogajanglu, Tele, Matine. Ini rasul mimi telai matinge di pasal dia, ini je yang lama lalu cecah. Ngam dua bukan lagi ini jemis mimi tujuh tiga ini nyawat sah sis, macam ni semua berlaku ari. Jemis mimi je ini kau cuma dek kau cakap tu semua berlaku ari.
So in Tibet historically, among the practitioners, there evolved two main communities. Known as the community of the white robes and long hairs, and the other one is the monastic community of yellow robes or red robes, and here the community of the white robes refer to lay practitioners, and particularly the Vajrayana practitioners, where you know they don't assume the external appearance of a monastic order in the sense of a ordained life, and then in some cases we find that those who are engaging in long-term retreats, they in fact keep their hair and never cut it, and the hair is plaited and tied up. So there is a textual sort of basis for this kind of conduct. In fact, in the tantras, in the Vajrayana text, we find a reference that the members of the communities of the white robes need not observe the external forms of the monastic life, but rather, so far as the precepts are concerned, the key precepts are concerned, they must practice all. And so historically, these lay practitioners take the upasaka vows, the lay practitioners' vows, and then on that basis, they take the bodhisattva vows, tantric vows, and then follow that line. Then on the other side are the members of the monastic order, whose sort of the foundation of their life is the monastic discipline and a life of an ordained member, where you cut your hair and adopt a particular set of robes and appearance, and then lead a celibate way of life. So we, right from Tibet, historically, there evolved these two distinct lines of practitioners. So and each pursue their line with a certain clarity and direction. However, both in Tibet and also especially these days, it does seem that sometimes we find practitioners, people who neither seem to be in the one camp or the other. They seem to sort of fall in the middle. And in fact, one of the Tibetan mystics, Drupa Khunle, is said to have remarked that those who are neither yellow nor white, neither of the two camps, there seem to be a lot of those in the hell realms, suffering so much. There seems to be a point to this, and it is important to whatever a line of practice that you pursue, whether as a monastic member, ordained celibate member, or as a lay practitioner, it is important to follow that with clarity and with sort of lack of fuzziness. And also it is important to know that when you change your physical appearance by either adopting a set of robes or a particular kind of costumes or whatever it may be, especially in the case of monastic robes, it is very important to know that such change of physical appearance, such change of clothes, should only be adopted as a kind of an expression of a particular change in direction that you have taken, which is to say that you have taken a specific set of vows or precepts. And it is to demonstrate that change, fundamental change in your life, then you put on that particular appearance. Otherwise, otherwise there is the danger that people, either out of whatever motivation may be, likes a particular appearance, and without any basis for either of taking vows or whatever it may be, then assume a particular appearance with the robes, then there's a danger of diluting. And also, whether or not there is an intention within the person, sometimes there is also a danger of kind of a certain form of sort of charlatan kind of at least in the appearance perception, the people can then become charlatans. There is that danger. And sometimes I meet people that at one time they seem to be wearing white robes, and another time they seem to be yellow robes, and another time it's red robes. So even I get confused when I meet these people.
I 조지 아니 펠리아 피드산에 등을 잘 담아도 세인데 당거리 계산기보다 당거리 계산도 세인데잖아요. 그 라진 펜진스 그 따라 뒤셔 비시 네 가서 그 따변 드라마 단체 비시 페이오입니다. 쟤는 지금 다 통수승의 서로 쟤는 어찌기다 다시 보라미사 지금 그냥 저한테 민 보라미사도 된다 가는 신기입니다. 민거 야우스께도 보라미사도 야우스께도 비군 가르치다 자주 캠프스 보라미 가거래. 제제 엔다 누안에 드죠래 캠프스 때 우수 제제 지 가사님이지 가사 안에 그래 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 우수 제는 그걸 캠프스 기불사한테 그걸 편제 젠다 그게 공모도 하잖아 기불로지 고지 몸부자래 디밍레 탈렌스도 탈렌 탈렌야 젠다가미 침대 돌로도 와 침대 돌로지니 침대 장르 따디기 데 가서 고지스에부디 요거 나고 책이 인사니 고지 몸부샤샤나 그 나고 마셔도 무슨만이야 책가로 저 그러면 탈렌스래 저다가다 장로연에게 권야가 둘러디 나도 캠프도 후다하다 컴퓨터도 별이야 뭐하러 잘해야 되니 젠더다 가다 니디 쳐니 아니 조지 뷰티잖아요 어디다 별거 나신지 따라 미라우터네 시부채 두십지 야 별이 그래 조지 별이 내용이 있어요 우등겨지 그래 아니 가져버렸어 코난스 전자들이 조지 우등겨지 그래 가치를 쓰잖아요. 나 캐안즈 둘러줘야 된다. 따라서 지금 누워진데, 네, 따철로, 네, 당원들부터 모셔서 그 샵을 했으니, 두스카미 쇼임을 해. 아니, 신의 벽을 낮은소야, 파프트, 파페셰, 집어넣은 마법. 아니, 지금 보러 미주세요. 벽시사 벽시사. 근데, 최근 남자씨, 아니, 지금 수수심으로 치는 벽을 해. 아니, 조지. 자, 니무 충분히, 니들 신압을 해. 조지. 어디, 나도 루유나, 유쉐디가. 루유나, 숭기숭기, 양, 나도 브라미, 그다음부터 밴드가, 양, 자. 자, 늦어야 돼. 왜냐면 유쉐디가. 나도 너도 노후도 왔어. 나도 별에, 댕은 별이야, 별이 지금 별이라마, 수술 진다, 아니, 미진뿐부터 내기, 지금 둘러 루유아베이나, 점된 내기, 가서 부서져, 건축 말했어야, 딜리, 미진뿐 진기, 가서 부서진 돌로 요압에 있는 띠까가 가로 셔야 되지. 아주 중대로 와. 도대체, 지, 가서 우리, 실루지로 송어던 신, 가사, 최대 렁수 미신바, 최대, 가서 최대 렁수 미신바, 땜바식배, 마델라, 셔야 되지, 땜바레샤. 아주 최바로 캐치. 전대되게 젠장, 김미신부, 로드신부, 캐치기 치기리야. 아니, 지금 렁수 쓴부터 붙여. 아니 지금 민모로 다양하고 지금 변신된데 무슨 약소로 지금 변신 둘러야는 점점되게 둘러야 다치시 쓰야지 되리 지금 땀번 지기하게 맞아야 되셔 땀번 지기인 지기수라 그건 지기하게 되셔
And also with this sort of context I often make the following remarks even for the members of the Tibetan monastic order itself, there are, of course, certain excesses. There is this wonderful story, which I often tell to the Tibetans, about an incident with the Indian master, Dibhamkara, Atisha Dibhamkara Shirjana, when he came to Tibet. And when he arrived in the Ngari kingdom, and there was a big reception from the Tibetan lamas and masters, and they came to welcome him. And Atisha saw this whole caravan of horses and monks. But all of these monks were riding horses, and they were dressed in a very impressive costumes with, you know, very impressive headgears. And they are, in fact, they were in Tibet, you know, all sorts of headgears. In fact, there is one hat known as the one with the crow's eyes. I don't know what that actually means. And in fact, the abbots would often wear that. And all of these very kind of rather kind of elaborate costumes and headgear and all of this. And Atisha was so appalled. He sort of covered his head in his robes and said that, "Oh my, you know, the Tibetan ghosts are coming here," and he didn't want to see. So and then these Tibetan lamas and monks who were coming to receive him noticed that Atisha is actually, he was covering his head. Then the sort of they asked around, and then finally the word came back to them that Atisha was not very pleased to see the community of monks who were not, who do not have the appearance of a simple lifestyle of the monastic order. So when they found out, then they descended from the horses, and then they took their impressive gears off, and then put on the simple monastic robes with a yellow outer garment, and then they came in a procession to receive Atisha, and Atisha was very pleased. And so Tibetans, you know, often tell this story. And yet at the same time, historically, there has been excesses. In fact, you know, Tibetan abbots and of the big monasteries would often sort of, you know, are very attached to the external appearances, which suggest a certain status and position within the ranks. And in fact, there is one outer garment which only the abbots wear, which is although yellow, but on the back is a blue patch. And in fact, the name of that blue patch is a hair rest. And it was a layperson's clothes, because when you have long hair, the hair dirties the upper part of your garment. So there's a blue, dark blue patch which is supposed to protect your garment being sort of soiled by the long hair. Of course, the abbots were monks, they had no hair. And in fact, they were wearing these lay clothes. So there has been these excesses, and also historically, in sometimes in Tibet, some of these costumes, these external garments, represented a certain gift from a high official or persons of power or status or wealth, and the attachment to these that are given as an honor by these influential officials and so on seem to be really unnecessary. And in fact, sometimes it seems that instead of, you know, paying greater respect to the robes, the set of robes that were given by the Buddha, here are, you know, we Tibetan monks, you know, sort of being more attached to some kind of apparel, a paraphernalia that has been given by either high officials and so on. And these are really very sort of sad signs of a kind of a potential degeneration of the Dharma. And in fact, Kiru Rinpoche wrote somewhere, and he is very true. He said that if the members of the monastic order do not retain their integrity, grounded in some kind of humility and stability, and indulge in all sorts of things, those will be the early indications of the degeneration of Dharma.
Oh yeah. But then, did you know that? Kalav changa chida kalav. Mare, lulu chungne chisi sayi para. Kalav changa chida. Did lulu marve? Lulu wa. Kalav changa chida kalang shin, jadang shin, jadang shin. Kana matuwe niwe nayon kabar majuji. Chenida, lulu chungne. Rabdu chungnes ta kada rabdu chungu tomba jiri chisi choyi ta chengi tomba yindu zane chisi choyi palas ene gilshu da gelong ene tomba kari yinye da kembo da lorin jangara chidan kyala mo nanshin ene jaywa khana mato wadar rinji khana mato was jaywa khana mato was lona tomba jilangni ene yera yina tedan dewe da jaywa wangi ene chawa kengshi chana nyebayongya dibayongya delaya ene jaywa khana mato wa sungu yabari jaywa ji kaya langbe dobji ene chungwa mato jaywa kaya malangya chigla shitala shungna nyirung chungwa membari dato urbi nyebayong chungwa membari dara rinji khana mato wa sulamna domba yuemi domba langa yuemi la mato we suyu chaywa yina ya bena sohche ba tabu da jaywa khana mato wa bena chidru khasa tabu ene jaywa wang